This is Archer of Archer.com. Today is Wednesday, March 10th. Look at the calendar. It's Wednesday, March 10th, 2010. And I usually don't do a podcast on Wednesday nights, but I had a couple things I want to talk about. Plus, tomorrow night, Thursday night, I want to join in Arthur's group show, so I don't want to have to be recording on the same night I'm joining that group show. So I decided to do my podcast tonight. And there are things happening and topics to discuss and so forth. And the first being, how sad was it this morning when you heard that Corey Haim died of an overdose in California? Do you remember Corey Haim from The Lost Boys? Anybody remember him? I'm sure at this point everyone already knows that the poor guy died. But yes, he was only 38 years old and he died of a drug overdose in California in his mother's house. Poor thing. Yeah, and then you know what, I hate to get into this, but when I read the articles on the Washington Post, I think I mentioned this before, and I go read the article, and then what right after the article are the comments that people are leaving, and I went to the celebritology part of Washington Post, and there's all these just nasty comments, like this one, this guy was a real idiot. He says, "What a loser. And this is the face of Hollywood who presumes to lecture us about our votes." What an idiot. You know, and I say it all the time. I got to stop reading these damn comments that people are leaving on the Washington Post articles because it pisses me off. And that's not the only one. I read probably 6 articles today and all of the comments were just royally pissing me off. But anyway, that's another topic. So Corey Haim died, and do you know, I actually remember him first from the movie Lucas. When they first reported his death at, let me go to this article, at 8:30 a.m., I guess it was, they said that he was most known for The Lost Boys and of course his TV show, The Two Coreys. But then someone in the comments said, well, what about Lucas? That was his first major, I guess, successful film. But he actually did a lot more before Lucas, but anyway. So he was 38, he died of a drug overdose, and it's sad, just another Hollywood person dead. But that makes me think just slightly about the Oscars, not that he won an Oscar or was ever nominated for one, but I didn't talk about the Oscars. I recorded right before the show on Sunday night. Well, I stayed up to the very end of the Oscars, and I think I was a little surprised by The Hurt Locker winning so many awards. I thought for sure that Avatar would take all the big awards, but they didn't. I think they only won three Oscars, and The Hurt Locker got 6. The only thing I like about that is that the director, I think it's Catherine Bigelow, she's the ex-wife of James Cameron, who made Avatar. Anyway, but the interesting part is that her movie, The Hurt Locker, is the lowest grossing movie ever to win Best Picture. I thought that was interesting. So it didn't make any money when it was in the theaters, but it was such a great movie, I guess, that people gave it the Oscar. And that's probably why I didn't know who that guy Jeremy Renner was, because he never made a splash, because he got nominated for an Oscar too, but he didn't win. In terms of the major acting awards, no surprises there. I knew Monique was going to win. I knew Sandra Bullock was going to win. Who were the guys who won? Christoph Waltz for Inglourious Basterds. And, oh God, who won for Best Actor? God damn it, now I can't remember who it was. Well, that sucks. How come my memory is so bad? Because I'm old. Let me just quickly look this up because I want to know. Okay, here we go. Oh, Jeff Bridges, of course, from Crazy Heart. Sorry, that was a screw-up on my part, because I knew that. Only because I don't have any desire to see that movie. I was kind of hoping that Maggie Gyllenhaal was nominated for that movie, but she wasn't. Or was she? And I just don't remember that. I don't know. Anyway, Jeff Bridges. Yeah, I have no desire to see the movie Crazy Heart. It's about this country music person or whatever, and I just don't have any desire. But I guess it was Jeff Bridges' time to get an Oscar. He'd been nominated 5 times before. However, it wasn't Meryl Streep's time. This was her 16th nomination, and she did not win. Sandra Bullock won, and I thought, good for Sandra Bullock. I'm so glad she won, because this is probably going to be the only role that she will play that is Oscar-worthy. Because she is normally playing comedies or just not movies that are Oscar-worthy kind of movies. But, I mean, she's been in a ton of movies. If you go to her IMDb, it just goes on and on and on. But this was the only one that really is Oscar-worthy. Granted, I did not see it, but I hear that it was really good. And, I hear everyone really enjoyed it. So, good for her. And then, of course, Monique. I think everyone knew Monique was going to win. I wonder if anybody thought that girl, Gabourey Sidibe, was going to win for Precious. I don't think she even had a chance. This was her very first acting job, and she got nominated for an Oscar for the very first time. I think they're trying to shy away from these newcomers because they have a history with giving people Oscars that are, like, too new, like Mira Sorvino and even Marissa Tomei from, although I love that movie, My Cousin Vinny, but I don't know that she deserved to win the Oscar for it. But anyway, so the Oscars, yeah. Now, the sad part about the Oscars was the in memoriam, clips that they play of all the people who died during the year. They left out 3 huge people. They left out Farrah Fawcett, B. Arthur, and Ricardo Montalban. Even though he was later in his life known for TV, he actually made 37 movies. And even though Farrah Fawcett was also known for TV, she made 17 movies that were, in theaters. B. Arthur, I have no idea what her movie count was. But that's so sad. They left the 3 of them off. And then the Academy tried to give an excuse saying that Farrah Fawcett was more known for her television than her movies. I'm like, that's not a reason to leave her off the list. I think somebody just had a major screw-up and you couldn't admit to it and get people to go with your story. Anyway, enough about the Oscars. 2 other things, relatively political things, too. I'm sure that some of you have been following this battle between the White House and Chief Justice John Roberts about the State of the Union. And this has been going on since the State of the Union, so 2 months at least, where, John Roberts said, why should we even go if we have to just sit there in silence and we can't clap or talk or anything? And, of course, Obama is, which I agree with, he is criticizing the court case of Citizens United versus the Federal Elections Commission about the way the Supreme Court voted 5-4 to give corporations and unions carte blanche, or whatever, freedom to spend as much money as they want on political campaigns to run ads for or against their candidates. So, of course, that means that corporate America will own us even more than they do now. And that was a bad decision. So there was an article out today in the Washington Post. Chief Justice John Roberts seen at the State of the Union, very troubling, because he was speaking at some university in Alabama. University of Alabama. And he mentioned, he said, what did he say here? He said, first of all, anybody can criticize the Supreme Court without any qualm. Some people, I think, have an obligation to criticize what we do, given their office, if they think we've done something wrong. So I have no problems with that. On the other hand, there is an issue of the setting, the circumstances, and the decorum. The image of having the members of one branch of government standing up, literally surrounding the Supreme Court, cheering and hollering while the court, according to requirements of protocol, has to sit there expressionless, I think is very troubling. Too bad. Don't show up, because like Alito doesn't show up anymore, so you shouldn't show up if you don't like that. You just need to admit that you are in the back pockets of corporations because you're Republicans and you think that big business is best, so you voted for big business to win in this case. And it's right, they are right. Whoever the critics say that now the voices of small America will not be heard. I forget who said that. Maybe it was Gibbs who was repeating something that Obama said. Anyway, here it is actually. Yes, Robert Gibbs, press secretary, says the floodgates for corporations and special interests to pour money into elections, drowning out the voices of average Americans. That's what he said. And it's true. Think about it. If Halliburton wants, you know, a certain guy to vote for a contract for government, for a government contract, they will, you know, dump tons of money in this guy's campaign and he'll win, and then he'll vote for their chance to get the contract. You know, I mean, it's all you can buy people with money. I wish I had money to buy people, but no. Anyway, now some of you, I know the boys over at Dangerous and Lovely are follow, at least Davy Dangerous is, I'm not sure about Zachary, but I was listening to their last show and they had this whole segment on the issues happening for gays in Virginia right now. I think I mentioned this, I don't remember exactly when I mentioned it, but our Attorney General, well, it started out with our governor, who, when he wrote his, what do you call it, the executive order that he usually writes on the first day of him being in office, to write saying that he will not tolerate discrimination, he took out sexual orientation. This we know. Well, then two or three weeks later, Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli, he wrote letters to all the universities in our state saying that they have to also remove sexual orientation from their non-discrimination policies. And everyone is in uproar about this in Virginia. I mean, I did talk about this because I talked about his Facebook being full of stuff. Well, anyway, I've got a couple of clips that I'm going to play. They're like 8 minutes long. One of them is from the man, I don't know his name, he was a state senator in my state, who stood up in the General Assembly of Virginia and called for a bill to have sexual orientation as part of the non-discrimination policy. Anyway, you can hear that. And then after that, I have a clip from the Virginia Young Democrats and what they're saying that we should do on Friday, which I'm definitely going to do on Friday. And you'll hear about that in his clip. And then I will end it with John Stewart's take on Gay Watch Virginia. So listen to these couple of clips and then I will come back at the end. So here they are.
Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen, Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence that governments are instituted among men to secure the rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the inalienable rights we all hold so dear. So it boggles the mind that somebody would run for office and use the power of their office for the purpose not of securing rights, but for the purpose of seeking out and using finite resources to identify where people may have been afforded rights and figure out how we can revoke them and roll them back. But that's apparently what we have in Attorney General Cuccinelli. Last week, the Attorney General of this Commonwealth, as many of you know, wrote a letter to the colleges and universities of the state advising them that any non-discrimination policies, formal or informal, that they may have on the books are violations of the law because this body has not approved a policy, has not granted them the power to enact those kinds of policies. Well, Mr. Speaker, it's shocking that in an environment where we're trying to create jobs in an environment where we are trying to protect the quality and reputation of our institutions of higher learning, those institutions of higher learning which are part of our status as the best state for business. It's shocking that the Attorney General would seek to use the power of his office to make a dent in the rights and protections that students and faculty members and employees at those universities may currently have. This is not a partisan issue. Last week, when we were voting on the budget, we had a non-discrimination amendment on the floor, and the votes on that amendment were not all Democrat or all Republican. There were three Republicans who understand the importance of non-discrimination, who voted in favor of that. And I certainly appreciate them doing that because it highlights the fact that good people, regardless of party, can stand up for non-discrimination. It's not a partisan issue as evidenced by media coverage over the weekend. Our good friend, former delegate Vince Callahan, the Republican who represented McLean for so many years, who chaired appropriations, he called this action from Attorney General Cuccinelli reprehensible. That's his word, not mine, reprehensible. The good news is, Mr. Speaker, we have an opportunity to do something about it. There are a couple of opportunities over the coming days that I hope we avail ourselves of. The first opportunity comes upon adjournment of the full House today. General Laws is meeting, and laying on the table in General Laws is Senator McEachin's Senate Bill 66, which is a non-discrimination bill. I would urge the members of General Laws to take that bill off the table and move it forward so that we can once and for all protect the reputation of businesses in our Commonwealth, protect the reputation of our institutions of higher learning, enact a non-discrimination policy so that in fact, in the Commonwealth of Virginia, hardworking people who get up every day and try to do the right thing are judged on the one thing upon which they should be judged, and that is their merit, and not on any other factors, but only their merit. So I hope that the General Laws Committee will do that. The other opportunity we have is Governor McDonnell can send down a bill to address this issue. The governor has said that he has a personal policy of non-discrimination, and that's fantastic. It's important that he have that, but actions speak louder than words, and unless he can send down a bill and he can support a non-discrimination policy that will apply throughout the Commonwealth, and in particular to state employees and to institutes of higher learning, then his words will just be that, words. So I hope that either the General Laws Committee can take the bill off the table and we can move forward, or the governor can send down a bill so that in the Commonwealth of Virginia, where we were at the forefront of protecting the rights and dignity of human beings so many years ago, we can continue to be at the forefront of that issue. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The gentlewoman from Hampton.
Hi, I'm Sean Holohan, president of the Virginia Young Democrats. Last Friday, March 5th, our Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli decided to wage a war against our state colleges and universities by telling them their policies protecting gay and lesbian Virginians is illegal. There are many reasons to be angry about this, so many reasons to be outraged. Perhaps you're outraged that, while our higher education budgets have been gutted, Ken Cuccinelli is now trying to meddle in the admissions and hiring processes. Perhaps you're angry because you don't care who your college professor loves, you just want a good education. Or perhaps you're outraged because you don't think your sexual orientation should ever come into account when applying for admission to the College of William & Mary, Virginia Tech, or UVA. Whatever the reason, we are outraged with you. We are outraged by the decision to put personal prejudice in front of good policy. This week, many of our largest universities are on spring break. So I'm calling upon young people of all parties to take part in three specific actions on your campus, in your communities, or in your high school. First, I'm asking you to take part in a Facebook Day of Action on March 12th. On March 12th, I'm asking you to send a message to Ken Cuccinelli, Governor Bob McDonnell, and the Republican members of the General Assembly by updating your Facebook status to say, "This Virginian does not discriminate." Second, I'm asking you to send a message to Governor Bob McDonnell, telling him to rein in his Attorney General and asking him to amend his executive order on non-discrimination by including sexual orientation, like former governors Tim Kaine and Mark Warner did. Third, there are many groups across Virginia taking part in action protesting Ken Cuccinelli. I'm asking you to join in these activities, and you can find a list of them on our website, vayd.org. Ken Cuccinelli, Bob McDonnell, and the Republican members of Virginia need to realize that if they can't put personal prejudice aside and start concentrating on finding people jobs and giving people a good education, that Virginians will make a different choice in the next election. There is no place for this in government. There is no place for this in Virginia. Thank you. I hope you'll join us.
This great nation, known for its beauty, from its purple mountains to its fruited plains. But some of those plains are more fruited than others. To it, I give you Gay Watch, Virginia edition. We begin with Republican Governor Bob McDonnell, who won the Old Dominion's top job last November. McDonnell overcame early fears that he was an extremist. He'd graduated from Pat Robertson's Regent University. As Attorney General, he sided with anti-gay Episcopalians who wished to secede from the Episcopalian Church, and perhaps most damningly, allowed the 700 Club to film from inside his beautiful head of hair. That's, I had no idea Pat Robertson was the size of a tick. But McDonnell staked his claim to moderation with these brave words on the campaign trail.
The last two governors have signed an executive order to prevent discrimination in the state's workforce based on sexual orientation. Will you renew this executive order?
I'm supportive of completely supportive of the policies of non-discrimination.
They're very reasonable. It was a stance so inclusive, his beloved hair stormed off in protest. Well, anyway, funny story.
Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell issued an anti-discrimination policy which pointedly did not include protection for gay Virginians.
What? But you promised, during the campaign, how could any governor do that? Especially one from a state whose flag is as gay as Virginia's. Seriously. Even the rainbow flag thinks that flag is gay. So after this moderate's executive order basically said it was okay to fire gay people, State Attorney General Ken the Cooch Cuccinelli got right to work drafting letters to state-run schools advising them that colleges and universities in Virginia should not consider sexual orientation as a protected class within its non-discrimination policy. What the? What? You can't be gay in college? That's the whole point of going to college. Well, that and frisbee golf, which, not coincidentally, is totally gay. In Cuccinelli's defense, he was just explaining the law. Much in the same way Governor McDonnell rescinded an executive order that would let government employees add same-sex partners to their state health benefits. It's just what the law told him to do. And who told him the law said that? Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli. They're doing a little circle back and forth. They're just passing the responsibility like a game of gay potato. It's like hot potato, but potato's so hot it's flaming. Look, isn't there anyone in Virginia who's just got the balls not to pass the buck and just say what he means?
Eugene Delgadio, who represents the Sterling District in Loudoun County, is at the center of a political firestorm. The Loudoun County Board of Supervisors voted to ban discrimination in hiring someone based on their sexual orientation. Delgadio, who voted against it, then sent out an email to his constituents explaining the board's decision by saying, quote, "If a man dressed as a woman wants a job, you have to treat it the same as a normal person."
Kudos, Loudoun County Supervisor Eugene Delgadio. I'm sure it appreciates your candor. Whatever happened in Virginia is for lovers. Oh.
All right, hopefully you stay tuned for all those hoops. And actually, I think it ended up being 10 minutes. Sorry about that. But anyway, I found those very interesting. I applaud the guy in the Virginia House of our Virginia General Assembly standing up and saying that. I doubt anything he called for will actually happen in terms of the governor sending down a bill to get rid of the discrimination or change the discrimination policy. I doubt that will actually happen. And John Stewart, of course, was funny. And the young Democrats of Virginia, I definitely am going to change my Facebook status on Friday to say, this Virginian does not discriminate. So I'll be doing that. And I encourage anybody else, well, only if you live in Virginia, do that. So this podcast is now very long, so I'm going to stop. But I'm going to join Arthur's group show on Thursday night. So check us out on live on pride48.com. And Arthur and I are going to definitely rotate weeks. One week he'll do a group show. The next week I'll do a group show. And we'll both be starting at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on pride48.com. And I understand from listening to Arthur's podcast that the Pride 48 June event has a date now. I believe it's June 20. Excuse me, I keep burping. I believe it is June 26th or 25th, 26th, and 27th, I believe. So like that, it'll start that Friday night and then go all day Saturday the 26th and probably most of the day on Sunday the 27th to make it 48 hours, I'm sure. And I am probably going to be participating in that. I don't know when yet, but I need to email Arthur and let him know that I am definitely interested in having a time slot. Of course, it can't be in the middle of the night. And hopefully the time slot that I do have will include the boyfriend. So we'll see. Last year, we were at my house and we did the time slot. And then I went to his house for the rest of the weekend and I listened to most of it the next day. And almost lost the boyfriend. No, I'm just kidding. I did listen to a lot of Pride 48 last year. And I'll probably listen to a lot this year. And I'll just make the boyfriend aware that that's what's going to happen. Anyway, all right, that's enough for me for now. I hope you guys had a great week. And I will come back to a regular show on Sunday. But I'm going to join Arthur's show tomorrow night. Or wait, Thursday night. Today's Wednesday. So yeah, tomorrow night, Thursday night. Some of you might be listening to this on Thursday. So it would be tonight. Well, you know what? I need some people to call the voicemail line. No one has called it. You know, I lost my K7 telephone line, the telephone number, and the number that's on there now, 260-232-2072, is my Google Voice number, and I need someone to call it because it's just sitting there dead. So please call my voicemail line and just say hey. Or whatever. And because I want to make sure it's working. Plus, I want to actually have the computer read the transcript that is sent along with the voicemail message. So anyway, somebody call the voicemail line, please. All right, thank you. All right, boys and girls, that is all for today. I hope you had a great day, and I hope you have a great rest of the week. Until next time, bye.